Father, we thank you for, again, the opportunity to consider ministering to your children. And we ask that you would just show the importance of, as early as we can, to minister to children. I pray that you would just quicken Robin's mind and heart to yours, and that this would be a class pleasing to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm not going to say much about Robin, but I do want Robin Krause to come up and share a little bit of her experience, why she's here. She may go, well, I don't know why I'm here, but don't let her fool you. And just your involvement that you've had over the years in ministering to children and different aspects. So, but she's going to be covering preschool and how to minister to those little ones, and it's of paramount importance that we are ministering to the children at an early age, because that's when they're starting to develop all these different ideas and concepts that they're going to need for the rest of their lives. So, Robin, share as you will what you feel comfortable with.
And I always get this thing all over my body. Okay, so before I get started, or in a sense, I want you guys to make sure you get your printouts first. So did everybody get printouts? But what you didn't grab was name tags. Nobody has a name tag on. So you need to grab a name tag, write your name as big as you can, because I'm as blind as can be. And I probably still won't be able to see it, but at least we'll have them on. I'm going to see if I can fix this mic so that I don't drag it everywhere. So good afternoon. So it's my great privilege to be here and try to keep you guys awake, right? Because it's afternoon and you guys want to go take a nap now, don't you? But we're going to not do that. So I have been in children's ministry as long as my son was born, so 23 years. And, in fact, both of my sons came here and found their brides. So it really is bridal college. No, I'm just kidding. And they're married, and they're out in Colorado Springs. And now I have a grandbaby, a granddaughter. And I have a daughter also that is 21 and doing CBU nursing. And they're all walking with their Lord. They're all serving the Lord. I've just been blessed. And they made it through all the years of me doing children's ministry, being very, very, very busy. We went out in the mission field for 5 years out in Belize, and I did school there, so I taught academically as well as biblically, because they is a Christian school. And then came back, and when I came back, I was like, what do I do? Because I homeschooled my kids, children's ministry, come back off the field, what am I going to do? I got plugged into a preschool, thinking, well, I have all this experience now, but I didn't have any college in that direction, because the college I went for was business, which the Lord totally took me, you know. So I had to go back to college to take my classes and all that. So anyways, then I've been in preschool, and it's just this year I quit preschool and started in the children's ministry again back at church. And I've actually been in children's ministry at several churches, even down at Calvary Chapel Bible Fellowship, where Pastor Larry is, before he was there. So anyways, in fact, they were one of our sending churches when we went out to Belize. So now I'm in the children's ministry at the Calvary Chapel San Jacinto. But I love it because I still get to teach different things, you know. And out of all the grades, I still have to say, I love the preschoolers. Like, I get to the fifth and sixth graders and it's this. And I'm like, how fun is that? And the little preschoolers are like, you know, and anything you do, they do. And it's like, and then the top of it all, they're the ones that run up and go, Miss Robin, I miss you, and get the hugs, and I'm like, kiss from heaven, you know, because fifth and sixth graders don't do that, do they? So first, second, still kind of do that, but anyway, so I just love it. So how many of you work with preschoolers or have worked with preschoolers? How long have you worked, or just a little bit, or? You have a two-year-old. That's good experience right there. So you have a two-year-old. That's totally fun age. I love that age because they're just getting into all the little talking and stuff. So how many of you would want to work with preschoolers? Or are you just thinking, no, they're just little people that just scare me to death? I love working with them. And you know what? I'm hoping that today it'll probably, you know, not that you'll want to, but just that, like he said, that understanding at this age, capturing their minds and hearts, because truly, again, as they have said, you know, from the up to 5 years old, that's where all those things are being formed in their minds and their hearts. And Satan is doing a great job at capturing them really fast with its cartoons and the video games at that age. You know, they can do things better than we can, can't they? And the percent of, you know, at four years old, they say the percent, you know, 1% that accept the Lord, I think it's higher just from working with preschoolers. And I've seen three-year-olds do it, you know, and stuff. At least the idea of knowing they've done bad things and that Jesus loves them and died for them, that simple, they can believe. So, okay, so to get you guys up and awake for, he closed that cabinet. So can you open it? And I'm going to make you guys stand up and do a song with me that I do with the preschoolers. And it's just a fun song. It's to get you up, get your energy going. Let's see if I can get this, okay? Of course, I'm small. Yes, that's it. Okay, you guys gotta move. You can't, you know, little preschoolers, they move with me. They do everything with me. They smile and they laugh. Okay. Gotta smile.
Making melodies in
I hate this.
My
I don't want to sing in this.
Making melodies in my heart. Making
sing with them, but I'm afraid this is being recorded.
To the King of Kings. Thumbs
up.
Making melodies in my heart.
You guys can sing.
Making melodies.
Up.
Elbows back.
Making melodies in my heart. Now you guys should be having fun.
Okay,
let's go.
Thumbs up.
Elbows back.
Legs apart.
Now, preschoolers like that. But I'm not doing it. Because they realize real fast this next one, they can't stay that way. Thumbs up, elbows back,
legs apart,
knees in.
It'd
be hard to do that with your legs really far apart, huh?
Making melodies in my heart.
Hopefully I won't.
Thumbs up,
elbows back,
chest out, making melody.
I do my deep voice, it's like a man.
In my heart, I go, making melodies in my heart.
And little boys love it. They do it. Elbows back,
legs apart,
knees in,
chest out,
head back,
making melodies in my heart.
So they like all those sounds.
In my heart.
Making melodies. You gotta be moving. Uh oh. Thought you were done?
Elbows back.
Legs apart.
Knees in.
Chest out.
Head back.
Pull out. Oh, this is on video. This is great. I hope we can get you guys. Uh oh, you think this is the end? This is in the end. Now you gotta turn around. Okay, do semicircles. Okay, you guys can have a seat. Let me see if I can stop this. I'll know if it starts at 2. It'll be like, I think I stopped it. Okay, that's just to get you guys awake. Okay, so let's do one thing. Let's pray. I know he prayed, but let me pray. So before we pray, get out your caterpillars. Because everybody has a caterpillar. Okay? And you're going to take your caterpillar. I once had a caterpillar. I whipped him down the tree. I wiggled him long. He wiggled short. He wiggled right at me. I put him in a covered box. Now don't go away, I said. But when I opened up, a butterfly in. Dead. I could never make one, even if I tried. Only God in heaven can make a butterfly catch him. And let's pray. Father, we come before you again, and we just thank you for this time. And Lord, we just pray right now, God, that you would just pour out your spirit. It would be everything that you want to pour out on us today, Lord, to equip us for this serving you, Lord, in the children's ministry, maybe from the youngest, maybe even older, but Lord, just preparing our hearts. And even for some that may become moms, just to know the different ages and the things that they do and learn and how they, just how their minds work, God. And I just pray that you would stir our hearts to good works, that we would just see the love that you have for these little lambs, and God, that we just can capture them with you, and as the enemy is trying to capture them away from you. And we just give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let them go. Okay. All right, so the first, one of the first things you have is, how does this child think? Because little guys have a lot going on in their little minds, you know, but they're so fun. And there's attached to this thing is a little thing about their characteristics at 2 years old and 3 years old. I think it's kind of towards the back. And it has 2 and 3 year olds and 4 and 5 year olds. And if you looked at both those, you will find that it says on both of them, extremely active, very active. Yes. Is that true? Yes. And that's what scares a lot of people. It's like, I just don't know what to do with them. I don't know how to keep them busy. They'll be everywhere, and I just don't know. They won't sit down. But you know what? The amazing thing is they can sit down, right? You see them in front of a TV. You see them in front of a video. They can sit down. It's just a matter of capturing them and doing the things that bring their attention and stuff, okay? Attention span, 3 to 5 minutes with the younger ones, and it says 5 to 10 with the 4 and 5 year olds. And I think we can keep them even longer. I just totally believe that depending on your presentation of Bible and the things that you're doing and bringing in songs and motion and different things and having them apart, you could keep them at a circle time 20 to 30 minutes. You can. I've done it in preschool. Our circle times are 30 minutes. We can do it. But we do songs and we do other things. They're not just sitting there, folded hands, be quiet, because their body's got to move, okay? I don't know about you guys, but I'm one of those that doodle and sit and move and jerk, and everything's going when I'm just sitting there while somebody's talking, okay? So they're just like that. Learn by repetition. That's why we need to keep on repeating things. That's why Sunday school curriculums always have the same stories almost over and over and over and over again, because they'll still go, oh, like they've never heard it before, you know? Distinguishing between right and wrong. And these are the ages. You know, isn't it funny? Because we'll go, why did you do that? Do you really think they know half the time why they did that? Foolishness is bound up in their heart. Do they know? I don't know. When they say that, that's a true answer. I don't know. I don't know. They don't always know why they do those things, okay? So let's go back to a child is off in his own world and trying to get into the mindset of a 3 to 5 year old, okay? And a child's view, it says that he views everything in logic, okay? Meaning very concrete, not abstract. So therefore, curriculum that has abstract ideas such as the I ams, not good, right? I am the bread of life. I am the rock of salvation, right? I am the living water. That age, you know what? Are they going to really understand what that means? Here's Jesus and the living water. Here's a rock. You know what I mean? They're going to go home and Jesus is a rock, Mom. And, you know, they just don't get it. Sword of the Spirit, you know, they'll think sword, right? So they're very, very concrete. Just like you think if they're to go like, you know, a mower mows, blower blows, mixer mixes, scissors, what? Scissors sizz. They don't cut in their minds, right? It just goes right along with the logic of it, you know? Well, mower mows, and so very logical, very concrete. So, again, when you're thinking of teaching them and, you know, and again, one of the biggest things we do a lot is ask Jesus into your heart. He's in your heart. And that's such a hard one to get away from because it's so natural for us to go, just ask Jesus, he's in your heart. Well, again, for a 3, 5-year-old, do they really understand what that means? When they get a little bit older, you can say, you know, that means he's living in you. He's in your life. He's part of your life. He's you, you know, or whatever. But with a 2, 3-year, I mean, I've had them say, I don't want him in my heart, you know, or I'm, you know, going to heaven. Do you want to go to heaven? I don't want to spend the night anywhere away from home. You know, they just don't have that whole idea. It scares them. Heaven scares them in some ways. A lot of kids will be like, I don't want to go to heaven. I want to stay in Hemet. Where we live. So anyways, a child's world is full of possibilities. Okay, at this age, is there not anything they cannot do? This is also in teenagehood too, right? No, but at this age, you know, it's like tying the shoe. I can do it. I can do it. And you get about 50,000 little knots. Don't you? It's just like one after another, and you're on doing it all. You know, I could do it. Let me do it. Put my socks on or whatever. And that's just it. They're full of possibilities. We are just older, and we know more, don't we? So we're like, no, you can't. But they're like, yeah, I can't with those little weights. you know. But that's okay. You know, you can you want their possibilities to be there, but just we know the reality. So you let them try, and then when they don't, you just go, oh, such a good, oh, you almost did it. Good try, you know. Number three, a child's world is a mixture of fantasy and reality. And this is, I love this part of this age group because they do. They just have such an imagination, and I love entering into that. I do. I don't know if I missed it when I was young, but I love going there. And when I was at the preschool, we could do things that they wouldn't do, obviously, in a Christian thing, like the little leprechauns, you know, for St. Patrick's Day. And it's so true. Like, 1 minute, they're like, you're like, I just saw him run by. The little green guy. And they'd be like, no, that's not real. And I'd go, oh, okay. And then 2 seconds later, they're like, oh, I just saw him. Really? You know? Or like we would do the bear hunt, and we'd have these big bear paws, and he went in and ate their candy, and they're like 1 minute thinking, there's no bear, huh? And then it's like, bear ate my candy, you know? So it's just like, but what I love to do at this age is make them invisible. That's the funnest thing. It's like, okay, I'm going to make you invisible. And they just sit there. Like they're invisible. I don't know. Where did they go? And they're just, do you see? That is just crazy. They were just here a minute ago, and now they're gone. Wait a minute. Oh, you know what I did? I snapped my fingers. Oh, there they are. You guys are here. Huh? And it's like, totally. So if I really want to calm down the room, I'm just like, guys, let's get invisible. And we won't, your mom and dad won't even know you're here when they come to pick you up. I'll tell them, I don't know where you are. And, oh, it's just great. It works. Calms them down. Everything's fine. Anyways, but with that, think about some of the Bible stories. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Real. True. But doesn't that kind of a story just seem unreal? People in the fire, not burning up. Does a three-year-old know fire? What you tell them? Burn. Hot. Don't touch. It'll burn you. And then they get the story. You know what I mean? And it's true, but boy, how do they get that? You know, because Daniel in the lion's den. You throw somebody in a lion's den. What is a lion? You know, they know. But God, you know, just showing God's power, but yet it's just such a story. Like, wow, like how did that really happen? You know, because I know. So David and Goliath, this huge giant, when these little guys know how hard that would be to, but actually at that age, their possibilities are great. I just beat him up. I can beat him up. So at that age, they're good with that one. They can always beat that giant up. But anyways, just that mix. So when we're really in the making sure that they know the Bible, these stories are true because there's so much fantasy out there and so much of that video and unreality stuff and everything. Okay, a child's world is less inhibited than an adult. True. They're the ones that have no problem going, huh, ew, your breath stinks. Don't you just love that? Hi, hello. You know, and you're just like, okay, thank you. You know. Oh my goodness, where's my Tic Tacs, you know? Or you smell like coffee, you know? I get that kind of thing. Or you know, my son was great for things like, you know, why is she so fat? Oh my goodness, oh, you know? Or I remember one time in a store and he saw a dwarf and he's all the way across the store. There's a dwarf, Mom! And you're just like, oh my goodness, okay, shit, you know? They just don't think anything of it. It's just what is there. And they see it. It's true. It's before them. One of my hardest ones would be because we raised our kids with we didn't celebrate Halloween. And we just told them, you know what, it's not of God. Therefore, it's of the devil. We just do not. That's how, you know, we believe and we go. So we just don't do any of that. We don't celebrate any of it. So, of course, Halloween, you know, you go through a store that's only all you see from what, June to October now. Anyways. And, of course, it never, never failed. We'd be going through the checkout, and, of course, the checkout's like, oh, what are you going to be for Halloween? We're not. It's Satan's Day. We don't celebrate that. It's all about the devil. And you're just like, and she's just looking at you like, oh, my gosh, what are you teaching this child? I'm just like, you know, so, but it's true. I mean, that's what we, you know, but they don't have a problem saying it, you know, or they're the ones that'll just sing songs. You ever hear them down the stores just singing whatever's in their little mind? I love it when they're in the bathroom and just la, 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 just singing the whole thing in the toilet, no problem. Anyways, so they're just not inhibited like we are. We know better than to say those things. A child's world's full of curiosities, of course. Why? And, you know, sometimes those questions are stumping, you know. One of my little ones said, why is there going to be a new heaven and earth wasn't the old heaven good enough? Ooh. I don't know. You know, you just go, wow, that, like, you just processed that into your mind. I have never thought of that in all the times of reading that. You know what I mean? It's just like one of those thoughts. Or how we often will say, you know, in heaven there's no sin and no sadness, no sickness. You know, it's just perfect. It's beautiful. God's there. Jesus is there. And then we'll talk about sin and how it makes God sad. They put that together. Well, how can God be sad if there's no sadness in heaven? Oh, man. Where do you guys come up with these questions, you know? Oh, my goodness. But they're little minds. Wow. You know, and all of a sudden you're just like, as an adult, going, I'll get back with you on that one. I'm not sure, you know. But wow, you know. So anyways, full of whys. And sometimes, you know what, I don't have the answer, you know. Why is my mommy and daddy fight? You know, why does this happen? Why did my grandma die? Why did my doggy die, you know? Some hard little questions for their little hearts and minds. But a child's world is overwhelming. You would think not. You'd think, what would they have to worry about? Well, whether it's just, you know, I don't want to go to bed. I have to go potty when I don't want to. Go potty now. I don't want to. Go potty. That's an overwhelming thing for them. Like, can you imagine? I don't really want to, but I have to. I have to brush my teeth. I have to pick up my toys. I have, you know, I have to share my toys. You know, that overwhelms them, okay? Or child's world is now. Do we know this? Never tell them your birthday is in a week. Because every day, is it my birthday? Is it my birthday? Is it today? Is it and even in the day, is it now? Is it now? Oh, my goodness. You know, and even as they get older, you know, on the are we there? Are we there? You know, so, or I just think how they'll say, you know, yesterday I went to Legoland. Now that was how long ago? It wasn't yesterday. And tomorrow, which is really going to be, you know, 2 weeks from now, we're doing this, you know, so their concept of time. So even in teaching, you know, do we really have to worry about, you know, way back and, or on this, you know, no, there's no concept. They won't get that anyways. A child's world is self-focused. Me, myself, and I. Now, question, does that ever change? Isn't that the fall of man and sin? It's just all about me and I all, you know, we still have that. Teenagers are great for that. Okay. So anyways, it doesn't really change, but that's all they know. It's their world, what they want. They want you to focus on them. You know, that's why they come up and they want your attention. You know, it's their world. All right, and then jumping down. Security, it just, these are the things that, if you look down, it says SOS bear, but these are kind of the things that kids need, whether in the setting at Sunday school or preschool or even at home, you know, in a sense. Security, that they just know that they're safe. A child will come to your room and play, but if he has a little bully friend that every week comes in, or, you know, when they're there, do you think they want to come? They're not going to feel safe, especially if they tell you as a teacher, hear me, and you go, okay, all right, okay, I'll talk to them, and you don't, or it doesn't change, because you just kind of, you know, go busyness or whatever it is, they're not going to feel safe again. And sometimes as parents, we wonder why our kids doesn't want to go, what's the matter, just go, you're fine, and we don't realize there's this whole thing happening because they don't feel safe, or the consistency of even a teacher that they love is not there. All of a sudden they come to the door, and they're like, oh, where's Miss, you know, Jennifer? Oh, she's not here today, she's sick. You know, because you just change their world, what they're used to, and they really like that consistency of stuff. Optimism, you can do it. You know, great job. I mean, I'm sure you guys have heard the verbalization of some parents, and just sometimes I'm just so amazed at the things that I hear that come out of their mouth towards their kids. And then I have them in the class, and I can see why they act and do the things they do because of the way the parent speaks to them right there in front of me, even, you know, just, what are you doing? Get over here. Get it. Whatever. And it's like, ooh. You can't do that. You don't know how to behave. You know, you're no. Wow. Significance, are they important to you? And we'll talk a little more about that. But when you know who your children are, whether Sunday school or whatever, I mean, to pray for them, especially when you kind of have your main group or you have those ones that are, you're a little, pray for them. Because usually those are the ones God will give you a special love for anyways. But do you care enough to pray for them? There's something going on, especially usually with those kind. You know, name tags to me are really important, especially at that age, because I mean, I feel so bad when I cannot remember a child's name. And I try so hard when they're signing in, if it's a new one even, and they're signing in, I try to read them upside down, you know. Hey, Joseph, how are you? Glad you're here, you know. And I know he just looks at me like, I've never been in your class. Like, how do you know my name, you know, or something. but I really try to make that, because I know what it's like. You know what it's like if somebody doesn't remember your name. And I even do that now, even obviously with adults. I'll be like looking, going, I know them, but I don't know their name. And I just did that with a preschooler I had a few years ago. Saw him at a taco shop, and I'm like, oh, my, I know him. And I go up to him, and I'm like, I know you. And he's like, and I'm like, I can't remember your name. I'm like, okay, it starts with a Z, right? And he goes, X. And I'm like, X. Oh, man. Well, the X is a Z sound. So, but I'm like, X. That just threw me. I'm like, okay, but do you remember me? And he's like, uh-huh. And I'm like, really? What's my name? Miss Robin. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that means I got to remember you now. And I'm like, oh, man, okay. Okay, I can't. What is it? Because I'm so hungry. I just need, what's your name? Xander. But it started with an X. But anyways, sweet little boy, but I could just, you know, it just makes such a difference. And I remember actually even here one time walking, and my sons were here on campus for the few years, and during that time they were here, we would have a college group come up, and we'd have prayer night on Friday nights. I cooked dinner, and we have prayer. And so we'd have a lot come in and going through the Friday nights. So anyways, I'm walking here, I'm on a retreat, I'm going over by that stinky sulfa area, and all of a sudden, a group of four guys are there, and they're like, hey, Robin, and I'm like, hey, and I'm just like, you know, one of those moments like, ah, oh, no, maybe from college group, you know, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? And they're like, great, how are you? And I'm like, good, having a great time. You know, you having a good time here? Yeah, da-da-da. And I'm just like, how do you guys know me? And they're like, well, your name tag. And I was like, oh, that was good. But I remember just how, you know, you just feel like, oh, they know me, you know, and just that feeling. So that's how kids are. But then I was totally embarrassed because I'm like, oh, okay. So anyways, so belonging, do you feel like they're a blessing or a nuisance? And this is big because you know what? You will have those ones. They are out there that are what we call the nuisance. The ones that come and you're like, they're here. They're here today. And you just have the hardest time going, so glad you're here today. Or you're just like, you know, or you're thinking in your mind, maybe they won't do it today. Maybe they won't do it today. Okay. But those are the ones you have to just try to capture, you know, right away. And as soon as you see them, be like, oh, man, you are. Change that whole thing. Not like, oh, you are here today. Oh, you're here today? Oh, man. What would our day be without you? Oh, boy. We're going to have a great day, aren't we? And just try to bring it up and bring that home. Even though they're like, yeah, I don't want to be here or whatever. You know, you're just like, hey, I'm so glad you're here. You just made my day. Oh my goodness. What would I thought without you here today? So anyways, just making them feel belonged. Exploration, giving them the right to freedom, explore, to learn. And that's part of your curriculum, just, you know, having enough things for them to have fun. Now, sadly enough, do you realize that in the child, I wouldn't say child evangelism, but the classes I was taking, it just blows me away as to the things that they are saying now that we should let these kids do exploration. We're not to hinder them from their, you know, development and creativity, blah, blah, blah. And they were telling me how, you know, if they want to stand on the table, let them stand on the table and look around the room and everything. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? And they would find that wrong for you to take that child down from that table and say, no, let's look from it down here, you know. Oh, no, they want you to engage in it with them up there. Safety-wise, right? That's it. Oh, no, that's not safe. You have to come on down. We don't climb on tables and chairs. Do you do that at home? Uh-huh. Well, we're not going to do it here because that's what I would get. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Well, not in Miss Robin's room or not because I don't want any boo-boos. Rush to the hospital, blood. Oh, I'll faint. No, we can't do that. Okay, so we're going to get you off the table. All right. Appreciate childhood. And that's just like, again, remembering if you can remember what childhood was for you, you know, because it can be frustrating where you're like, why, or they do the same thing. Or, I mean, think about this. When you think, why do I have to tell these guys over and over and over again? Well, at least my parents, how old was I till my parents stopped telling me, brush your teeth before I went to bed? I wasn't just 4 or 5. I was older, and they'd still say, did you brush your teeth, you know, or something? It's amazing. And you think, night after night, do they really have to tell you that? But then you're like, oh, okay. And you go brush your teeth because you did it. Okay. Anyways, and then relationships and people. So just, again, just trying to have that relationship with these little guys. Like I said, I love it because you can. And I love when you go down there and you get into their stories and into their life. And when you're praying with them to remember, oh, I remember, what happened? Did you, you know, what happened with your grandma? And man, that you're building that relationship with them, that they would feel safe to come. Do you know what happened to me? And they'll tell on themselves, you know, their own little sins that they do and stuff, but because they're so comfortable with you, you know. Okay, so I'm turning the page, and we're going to pair up here. So you guys probably got comfortable. Now, do I have an even number here, 246? Uh-huh, right? You guys are six. Okay, so your name tags should have little fruits on it. Hopefully you guys are paired up, but you might not be, because I tried to put two of the same ones together, but if they weren't in the line. So is there any more cherries? Anybody else a cherry? Okay, so this isn't going to work because there's a lot more people. Okay, but I need you paired up. So you just need to pair up. And, I mean, you guys are close, but just pair up, and you need to pair up, and you can either move that way or this, because this next session, you guys will be pairing up for this. Well, only the sad part is I don't think I've got everybody paired up in the fruits, because I had name tags that were like, you know, five or six fruits and then five or six fruits. So they're probably not all the same. What do you have? I'm sorry. Oh, you're a watermelon, so there's another watermelon, so you could pair up with her. And then your cherry, no cherry. Is there another strawberry? Hers is strawberry? Okay, so then you get whoever. So if you do have your pair, do it. And then if you're the odd man out, just pair up with the other odd man or odd woman, odd gal out. And then we're going to do a song. So get in your pairs. You might want to bring your paperwork with you just for that, because at least for the second part, for a short time, you'll be together. And we're going to have to be really fast because we have 25 minutes, and it'll be good. We'll be able to do it. But we're going to do a song, so get with your pair. You don't need the paper for the song, but we're going to continue on. I don't know if you're taking notes, but we're going to continue on while you're in your pairs. So if you want to bring your stuff with you. Okay, so as soon as I see you paired, I'm going to see if I can start this to number two. I don't know if it'll put in the little... It's fun when you have a big group. Not working. Is it on? This is it. Okay, gotta stand up. You guys know how to do hand jive? You'll learn real fast. Okay, ready? Here we go.
The fruit of the spear is not a coconut. Fruit of the spear is not a coconut. If you wanted me a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't beat the fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the spirit is not a banana. The fruit of the spirit is not a banana. You want to be a banana, you might as well hear it. You can't beat the fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control.
You guys know the fruit?
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness.
This usually helps you learn.
Oh, the fruit of the spirit is not a watermelon. The fruit of the spirit is not a watermelon. You want to be a watermelon. You might as well hear it. You can't be the fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the spirit is not a
lemon.
The fruit of the spirit is not a
lemon.
You want to be a
lemon,
you might as well hear it. You can't be the fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control.
Love, joy, peace, patience,
kindness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the spirit is not a
cherry.
The fruit of the spirit is not a
cherry.
If you want to be a
cherry,
you might as well hear it. You can't be the fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control.
Oh. Now you guys have to hug.
Hey! Everybody knows that grapes come in bunches, so everybody get in big bunches!
The fruit of the spirit is
not a grape!
The fruit of the spirit is not a
grape!
You want to be a grape! You might as well hear it.
Now you're wine! No, I'm just kidding.
The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control.
Again!
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control.
Chinese with his faithfulness, the gentleness that's on control.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. See if I can. Okay. Fruit of the Spirit. No, that one, these are all, he's called Uncle Charlie, and he has 12 different, like, CDs and stuff. So those are Uncle Charlie songs I just use. Online. Just look up Uncle Charlie, and you'll see it. Number, I don't know, I think that's number 6. Like, he has different ones, but they'll show what's on there. Number 6 is real popular with none of the ones I'm doing. Anyways, but Uncle Charlie, but if you're really, really interested, they're, like, going out. Like, they're selling out on them. I don't know why, because they're so good. So anyways. All right, so let's continue on. What I hear, I forget. This is talking about way to reach these children in their learning, okay? So what I hear, I forget. What I see, I remember. And what I do, I know. Okay? So talking about learning the way we learn, right? We have the audio, visual, kinesthetic learners. Basically, and I'm sure for most of us, like, I'm a total visual learner. Like, I learn so much better when I see things than just listening on a tape. Boom, I'm gone. I just have the hardest time staying focused on that. And actually, an audio learner isn't just listening, but it's also them saying it. So that's why we do, like, memory verse over and over, and we do songs because they hear themselves singing and saying, and that's how they learn audioly. And then visually, obviously seeing things, and I didn't have any tape, I didn't know, and then doing it, okay? So even doing the songs, and even doing crafts, or even doing parts of the story, they're going to learn so much more. They're going to go home going, oh, you know what we did today? Versus just sitting there, wah, 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 right? It's like you guys. You guys are going to remember probably a little bit of what I say versus what you're doing, okay? Well, the more I get you guys up and doing stuff, the more you'll remember, the more you'll... like, okay, so anyways, going down, it just talks again about how at ages 4 and under, 1%, again, I think that's higher, I really do, that these children can accept the Lord, can understand the concept of being a sinner. Now, truly, if you say, do you ever do anything bad, and they say, no, never, no, then are they ready? No, because they would not understand what Jesus did. But if they go, sometimes I, you know, hit my brother or pull my cat's tail, whatever it is, then they kind of get it. They kind of get the fact that they know those are bad. And if you ask them why, because I get spanking or I got to, they know there's a consequence for it. So they can get that concept, okay? So anyways, trying to reach into their world and communicate that to them and try to understand where they're thinking or how they see things, first of all. So I really want to kind of do these few little things where you guys are going to be paired up talking about communicating. Because when we communicate to these little guys, just like anybody actually, not just little guys, it says that 7% people will remember, 7%, you guys don't have this, of what they actually hear. So right now, if I just talked and 7% is all you guys are going to remember, man, okay? But this helps. Then 38% is by the tone of the voice. So if I just talk like this the whole time through the whole thing and didn't ever change my voice or do anything like different, you guys would just be totally 7%. But now I've got 38% when I go high and low and in and out and all that. You guys capture a little bit more by just that, by the music, by the sounds, the different things, okay? But also, I just wanted to read this poem because this poem is very, like, just pricks my heart, okay? Called The Tone of Your Voice. It says, it's not so much what we say as the manner in which we say it. It's not so much the language we use as the tone in which we convey it. Come here, I sharply ordered, and the child cowered and wept. Come here, I softly whispered, and into my arms he crept. True. Words may be mild and fair, but the tone pierces like a dart. Words may be soft as the summer air, but the tone can break a heart. So think about that when you're a teacher and when you're just talking with the children. And it's easy. I mean, it's, you know, when you have that, like I said, those few, we're just like, come here. No, you know, it's really, but just realize that it does. And you guys know what that's like. You've had somebody say something in the way they say it. So that's what we're going to do right now. We're just going to kind of show how this is so true. It says it's not what we say. It's in the manner, it's how we say it. Okay, so let's take a simple, I love you, and let's say it sarcastically. Okay, so I want you guys to say, I love you sarcastically. Let me see your sarcastic I love you. sarcastic. Sarcastic to me is like, I love you. Or, I love you. Whatever. Sarcastic, I love you? No. So, okay, say it. Say it like, okay, say it angrily. Let me see your anger. What? I love you. Okay, I love you. How about with a question? I love you? Like, really? I love you? How about sadly? Okay, you guys like this. Passionately. You know, it's fun when the guys are in here. I love you. You know, but I mean, okay, same words, totally different, right? Totally different. So again, you can tell a child, you know, something, but it's just on the way you say it, whether how they're going to receive it, right? It's like almost like, wait, what did you hear me say? It's like, how did I say that? And I mean, how many fights or I think husband and wife communication is because of that. Well, you said, but I didn't mean it that way. Well, it sounded like it. I mean, that's the way you said it. You went, nah, nah, nah. Well, no, I didn't. I, you know, it's just blah, blah, blah. Okay. So let's do, with that, we're going to do this little experiment just to show you again. So you guys have to decide between the two of you, which one of you is gross and which one of you is disgusting. So just real fast, go, I'm gross, I'm disgusting. Which one are you going to be? Okay. So you got gross? Gross? Okay, gross. I want you, okay, both to turn your chairs towards each other. Okay. Okay, and so gross, I want you to lean back as far as you can in your chair and fold your arms and kick your, yeah, totally, totally. Okay, and now I want you to tell disgusting that they're your best friend. Okay, now I want you to lean forward, put your hands on your knees, and look at them, and now say it. Okay, same words, again, not just the tone of your voice, but what? Your body language, right? Total body language. Nothing like a kid coming in and going, oh, Johnny, glad to see you. Glad you're here today. Versus, Johnny, oh my, I'm so glad to see you today. I'm glad you're here, right? Totally different. Which one do you think he's going to respond more to, right? So again, we have to be careful how we, and again, okay, so now let's have disgusting stand up, right? Because I just picked on gross. So disgusting stand up, and now I want you to tell gross that you are glad they're here today. Okay, now I want you to sit back down or get on your knees. Actually, I love the knees because usually when it's a guy, I can go, oh, you're proposing. No, because now say, I'm glad you're here today. Okay. Okay, again, totally. How did you feel when they're standing? Like little, like they're giants. And again, you've got to think through the eyes of a 3 to 5 year old. Even though I'm small, I'm big. And can you imagine even more so? You can have the biggest, smiliest boy, guy face, you know, the biggest, happiest dude go, dude, glad you're here. And they're like, wah! It's like, you know, like I've heard people say Mickey Mouse is just a huge mouse. You know, it's not like this, like, you know, that's why kids cry when they see that. They're huge, you know, and they never come down. Usually, if you notice that, they still just stay up, probably because they can't. I don't know. But so important at that age to come down to their level, you know. And it's I know a lot of times they come running up, and I love this. They're like, oh, Miss Robin, and that's my hug. You know, I go, or they'll go, I give you a hug, okay, and I'm thinking, and they're like this. Come up alongside my body. But it's so important to realize how, you know, how our body is, how our, you know, our body language and our voices and just how they see us when we're greeting them. It's important to be right there, you know, at the table. If you're sitting at the table, you're still eye level with them. If you're not coming down, dude, what's going on? You know, make sure you're in. Now, I mean, so far, that's probably the other reason why I like teaching them, because I'm like, still bigger than they are. Fifth and sixth graders like, hey, dude, what's going on? You know? So anyways, important, okay, important to just have that perspective. You're going back together in a minute. Yeah, having that perspective in their eyes of how they see you, how they hear things, how you come off to them, okay, in their little world. Okay, so listening. Easy to say we listen, isn't it? I mean, you're a mom. And it's easy to have that one. I mean, it's funny because as moms, we can hear mom, 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 and we, you know, but yet, mom, 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 and okay, honey, oh yeah, 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 you know, or can I do it? And sometimes I remember thinking, what did I just say yeah to?
What did I just say? Yeah. Oh, really, Mom? Really? I don't know. What did I just tell you yes to, you know? But anyway, so I'm going to just have you do a little listening thing. And I'll just, and Gross will start this time. And what you're going to do is I'm going to time you, which they used to have a real clock that said, had a second hand or whatever. I mean, second hand thing. Anyway, so I'll just pretend like I'm timing you about a minute. So you're going to do, I'll give you a minute to just think, but you're going to tell, and this is both of you, but Gross will go first. You're going to tell about a time when you maybe burned something or broke something or just were really sad. A time that you burned something or broke something or when you were really sad. Okay, and I'm going to give you a minute, Gross, to share with Disgusting, and then I'll go ding, and then Disgusting, you will share with Gross. Okay, are you ready? Gross. Okay, go, Gross. Okay, ding. Okay, now you're switching. So now Disgusting is going to tell their story, right? Okay. Okay. Are you ready? Okay. Now, this is a smaller group, so probably my ratio is going to be a lot less than this. But I just am curious. When Gross was first, okay, since Gross was first, Disgusting, I'm just going to ask you, when they were sharing, was your mind at all, like once they started talking, did your mind take off on any thoughts concerning what you were going to share or something that happened to you? Like, I mean, I know you're already, were you thinking about what you might say or how it shot off into a thought of something they did? Then you're like, oh, yeah, that happened to me, but you're just, no? Because I do that. I mean, I'm just going to, huh? Usually that happens. And you know, but I'm thinking Gross probably didn't have as much of a difficulty doing that because they got theirs out. And then, but you know how it is when you're in a conversation, you do that, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody's talking and your mind's thinking, oh, yeah, yeah. And that's why people interrupt, right? Because then they're like, oh, that, because their mind just went into the story that happened to them. And I just think about this because you know, we wonder when we have preschoolers and we're sitting there telling a story and you say snake, and all of a sudden their hands are up and you're thinking they're going to talk about something very, you know, spiritual. And it's all about the snake that they ran into, and you're thinking, oh, okay, can you hold that thought? You know, it's not, I'm not talking about that. Or it could be something you're not even, sometimes it's not even anything you're talking about. You just wonder, where did that come from?
But their minds just travel. You've been in prayer groups or praying together? And while somebody's praying, you're thinking of what you're going to pray instead of agreeing with what they're praying? Have you ever done that? I mean, I have. I'm thinking, oh, because of even something they said, I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm going to pray. Or I just keep that, I don't know, so that I won't forget. But my mind's not always listening, totally listening. And I think this is so, you know, when I tell my husband, you weren't listening to me. Yeah, I was. No, what did I just say? Well, I mean, you kind of said, you know what, No, you weren't listening to me, you know. But anyways, it's so important. I have little kids, I don't know, again, that would come up to me, and it's so easy to do. Miss Robin, so-and-so, da-da, okay. Yeah, okay, I'll take care of it. Miss Robin, you know. Or if I'm down here going, okay, don't you love this when you're talking to people? And you're talking and you see them going, mm-hmm, yeah, uh-huh. Oh, I totally, yeah. And they're looking everywhere else. How do you feel? Like they don't care? They're not really listening, right? We could be so guilty of that. And I think of that with little kids. It's so easy to think what they're saying isn't really that important. You know, it is. They've grabbed my face. Miss Robin, you know? Okay. What? You know? Seriously. And I think here I am saying, give me your eyes. And that's what, Miss Robin is almost like, give me your eyes. Okay. I'm talking to you. You know, you're listening to me. It's like, okay. Okay. What now? And I just try to keep my eyes on them because it's so easy. Because, I mean, as a teacher, it depends on your circumstance. You've got to be kind of like looking around and, you know. But if you really can have that focus on them, have it, you know. But it's so easy to just kind of think, yeah. Or, you know, again, that safety thing, they get hurt or something happened and okay. And you're not really listening or paying attention. And then they don't, and you don't address it. And they see that. You never talk to so-and-so or whatever, you know. And so just be very conscious of that, to be listening to them. And again, when you have 30, can you be like, everyone? And, you know, like I said, and then when you're in the circle time and you're thinking, okay, doing the story, let's have listening ears. Again, as easy as our mind goes from listening to somebody, a story or a thought, or, as simply as even somebody sharing something, you're right already thinking of a verse to give them or a counsel to give them or, you know, because it's that easy. And it's really hard to just listen. Okay, so just be very aware. They're very important. They're little guys. They really have a lot to say in their mind. Whether it's really a lot to say, they need to say it. Okay, so anyways. So getting the idea again, just coming into their world, seeing how, you know, how they see us. We're like giants to them, really. So coming down in the world, realizing the way we address things with them, how we greet them, all that is just so important as to whether they're going to want to come back. And whether they want to be with you, and that relationship's going to grow. And then when there's that saying, first I loved my teacher, then I loved her Bible, and then I loved her Lord. Because they get to know you, and through that, they see your love for the Bible, and it does, it's so true. But if you lose them here, if they don't love you in a sense because you're not giving them any attention or you're just whatever, do you think they're going to listen to this stuff? No. Their heart's just